Welcome to the Dr. Ghoul Radio Program. Get ready for a chilling good time.
Welcome to tonight's Dr. Ghoul Show. I want to say that my friend, Can't Be Seen, is going to read for us for the next few shows. And they are very scary shows. And for this show, we also have Vincent Price doing The Raven. So enjoy our show tonight. And now, Vincent Price and The Raven.
Once upon a midnight dreary, while I pondered weak and weary over many a quaint and curious volume of forgotten lore, while I nodded, nearly napping, suddenly there came a tapping, as of someone gently rapping at my chamber door. "'Tis some visitor," I muttered, "tapping at my chamber door, only this and nothing more." Distinctly I remember it was in the bleak December, and each separate dying ember wrought its ghost upon the floor. Eagerly I wished the morrow. Vainly I had sought to borrow from my book surcease of sorrow. Sorrow for the lost Lenore, for the rare and radiant maiden whom the angels call Lenore. Nameless here forevermore. And the silken, sad, uncertain rustling of each purple curtain thrilled me, filled me with fantastic terrors never felt before, so that now, still the beating of my heart, I stood repeating, "'Is some visitor entreating entrance at my chamber door? Some late visitor entreating entrance at my chamber door? This it is, and nothing more.' Presently my soul grew stronger, hesitating then no longer. 'Sir,' I said, 'or madam, surely your forgiveness I implore. But the fact is, I was napping, and so gently you came rapping, and so faintly you came tapping at my chamber door, that I scarce was sure I heard you. Here I opened wide the door. Darkness there, and nothing more. Deep into that darkness peering long, I stood there wondering, fearing, doubting, dreaming dreams no mortal ever dared to dream before. But the silence was unbroken. The stillness gave no token, and the only word there spoken was the whispered word, Lenore. And I whispered back, and an echo murmured back, Lenore. Merely this, and nothing more. Back into the chamber turning, all my soul within me burning, soon again I heard a tapping, something louder than before. Surely, said I, surely that is something at my window lattice. Let me see what then thereat is, and this mystery explore. Let my heart be still a minute, and this mystery explore. 'Tis the wind and nothing more. Open here, I flung the shutter. When with many a flirt and flutter in there stepped a stately raven of the saintly days of yore, not the least obeisance made he, not a minute stopped or stayed he, but with mien of lord or lady perched above my chamber door, perched upon a bust of Pallas just above my chamber door, perched and sat and nothing more. Then this ebony bird beguiling my sad fancy into smiling, by the stern and grave decorum of the countenance it wore. Though thy crest be shorn and shaven, thou, I said, art sure no craven, ghastly, grim, and ancient raven, wandering from the night's Plutonian shore. Tell me what thy lordly name is on the night's Plutonian shore. Quoth the raven, nevermore. Much I marvel this ungainly fowl to hear discourse so plainly, though its answer little meaning, little relevancy bore. For we cannot help agreeing that no living human being ever yet was blessed with seeing bird above his chamber door, bird or beast, upon the sculptured bust above his chamber door, with such a name as Nevermore. But the raven, sitting lonely on his placid bust, spoke only that one word, as if his soul in that one word he did outpour. Nothing farther than he uttered, not a feather than he fluttered, till I scarcely more than muttered, other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me as my hopes have flown before. Quoth the raven, nevermore. Startled by the stillness broken by reply so aptly spoken, doubtless, said I, what it utters is its only stock and store, caught from some unhappy master, whom unmerciful disaster followed faster and followed faster, till his songs one burden bore, till the dirges of his hopes that melancholy burden bore of never, nevermore. But the raven, still beguiling all my sad soul into smiling, straight I wheeled a cushioned seat in front of bird and bust and door. And upon the velvet sinking, I betook myself to linking fancy unto fancy, thinking what this ominous bird of yore, what this grim, ungainly, ghastly, gaunt, and ominous bird of yore meant in croaking, nevermore. Thus I sat engaged in guessing, but no syllable expressing to the fowl, whose fiery eyes now burned into my bosom's core. This and more I sat divining with my head at ease, reclining on the cushion's velvet lining that the lamplight gloated o'er. But whose velvet violet lining with the lamplight gloating o'er, she shall press. Ah, nevermore. Then methought the air grew denser, perfumed from an unseen censer, swung by seraphim whose footballs tinkled on the tufted floor. Wretch, I cried, thy God hath lent thee. By these angels he hath sent thee respite, respite and nepenthe from the memories of Lenore. Quaff, oh, quaff this kind nepenthe, and forget this lost Lenore, quoth the raven, nevermore. Prophet, said I, thing of evil, prophet still, if bird or devil, whether tempter sent or whether tempest tossed thee here ashore, desolate yet all undaunted on this desert land enchanted, on this home by horror haunted, tell me, I implore, Is there balm in Gilead? Tell me, I implore. Quoth the raven, nevermore. Prophet, said I, thing of evil, prophet still, if bird or devil, by that heaven that bends above us, by that God we both adore, tell this soul with sorrow laden, if within the distant Aden it shall clasp a sainted maiden, whom the angels name Lenore, clasp a rare and radiant maiden, whom the angels name Lenore. Quoth the raven, nevermore. Be that word our sign of parting? Bird or fiend, I shrieked upstarting, get thee back into the tempest and the night's Plutonian shore. Leave no black plume as a token of that lie thy soul hath spoken. Leave my loneliness unbroken. Quit the bust above my door. Take thy beak from out my heart, and take thy form from off my door. Quoth the raven, nevermore. And the raven, never flitting still, is sitting, still is sitting on the pallid bust of Pallas just above my chamber door. And his eyes have all the seeming of a demon's that is dreaming. And the lamplight o'er him streaming throws his shadow on the floor. And my soul from out that shadow that lies floating on the floor shall be lifted nevermore.
EFG Shirts is a one-stop shop for not only apparel screened or embroidered, but pens, calendars, coffee mugs, banners of any size, hats, and any other swag needs that you might have. So call 650-678-1020 and ask for Wayne, or go online and find us at efgshirts.com for all of your promotional needs.
For your listening pleasure, we thought we would throw in one of my favorite songs, Wolf Den.
Scratching at the door. So Dr. Ghoul asked me to read a few stories for his show. And the first one I would like to share is the Skeleton Lady. This story begins not too long ago, and not so far away, just to the north of here, where there is a country where it is winter for 7 long months of the year. Now, this particular winter had gone on much longer than usual, and the people were beginning to run out of food and firewood. Inside one small house, right out in the barren snow lands, an old lady was beginning to get anxious. Now you have to put on an old lady voice normally for this story, but I'm not going to mess with that. "Oh, my husband, I am so cold and hungry. Look at me, my hands are blue. I am going to die, I am sure of it." "Don't worry, my darling. Winter will be over soon. We will have food again." But the old lady looked very ill and continued to get anxious. Eventually, the old man agreed, "Very well, my darling. I will go and search for food. But before I go, you must promise me one thing. You must not use the last 2 logs we have for the fire. We need them to cook the food on when I return." "Okay, okay. I agree. Just go, please, find food." With that, the old man went out in search of food. Time passed, and the old man did not return. The fire was beginning to get lower and lower. "Where is he? I'm hungry. I'm freezing. I am sure I will die." Then the old lady had an idea. "If I just put one of the logs on the fire, he will be soon back, and then we will still have one to cook the food with. Yes, yes, that's what I'll do." The old lady picked up one of the logs and placed it on the fire. "Oh, that's much better. I'm so warm. He'll be back with food soon." The old lady forgot how hungry she was as she sat closely to the warm fire. But more time passed and still her husband did not return. It was beginning to get dusk outside and again the fire was getting lower and lower. "Where is he? He must have found food and eaten it. I am going to be left here to freeze." Then the old lady had another idea. "He must be back soon. If I put the last log on the fire, it will be hot and ready to cook on when he returns." When the old lady put the last log on the fire, but more time passed and the old man was not back. The last log began to burn lower and lower until all that was left was a tiny flicker. The old lady got closer and closer to the fire. Then suddenly, ouch, she burnt herself on it and began to bleed. She placed the finger in her mouth to lick it. "Mmm, that tastes good." Then the old lady began to chew. "Mmm, so good." And chew up her arm and around her body. Until all that was left was a skeleton. "Mmm, that was so good. I'm much better, but I'm still hungry." Just at that moment, she heard rustling outside and the door opened. In came her husband with 2 rabbits in hand. "Look, my wife, I found food." The old lady ran towards him and grabbed the rabbits. "Mmm, this is good. Mmm, mmm. My husband, I've just realized how meaty you are. Come here. I want to eat you. I want meat." With that, the old man burst out the door and ran into the frozen wastelands as fast as he could. Behind him, the old lady was running I want meat. I am going to eat you.
Luckily, the old man could run faster and began to escape his wife. He ran further and further into the snow. In the distance was the sound of the old lady.
I want meat. I'm going to eat you.
Suddenly, the old man came to the edge of a huge gorge that went as far as he could see. That way and this way, he looked as far as he could see. There was no way across. And coming closer was the sound of the old lady.
I want meat. I'm going to eat you.
Then the old man noticed a wooden cottage. He ran to it and banged on the door. The door opened on a chain, and a woman could be seen inside.
Yes? Can I help you? It's my wife. She's gone crazy. She's going to eat me. Very well. I will help you, but first you must bring me a bucket of water.
What? She's going to eat me and you want water?
Yes.
Okay. The old man searched around for a bucket to get some water from the well. He took it to the woman, who pulled out a ladle from her pocket and dipped it into the water.
Ah, yes. Very good. Now you will help me.
Ah, yes. Very good. Now you will help me. In the distance, the sound of a skeleton lady was very close.
I want meat. I want meat now. I want to eat you.
The woman stood on the edge of the gorge and stamped her feet on the ground. Then she reached out and stretched to the other side and grabbed onto a tree.
Now you may cross.
The old man walked gracefully across the lady's back and reached the other side. Then the woman let go with a ping and right back to the other side. She returned to her house.
Just then the skeleton lady arrived at the gorge. I will get you, my husband. I will eat you. I want meat.
She banged on the door of the house.
Yes, can I help you?
You are too skinny to eat. You will help me cross the gorge.
Very well, I will help you. But first, you must bring me a drink of water.
Help me now or I'll eat you anyway.
Okay. With that, the woman stood on the side of the gorge and stamped her feet into the ground. She stretched across and grabbed onto the tree.
The old woman began to run across.
I want meat. I want to eat you. With that, she ran halfway across, and the woman below her let go and ping went back to the start. I want to eat me.
Now I said that this happened not too long ago and not too far away. It is said that there is a little bit of magic in each piece of skeleton lady's bones, and that one day they will join together and come in search of meat.
Did you enjoy Can't Be Seen? And isn't Vincent Price one of the best you've ever heard? Thank you, Rice Trucking, Soil Farm, and EFG Shirts for supporting our show. And as always, may all your dreams be nightmares.
Ha, 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 ha.